tone that made Holly peer at her again, but she couldn't read the expression on her face. Leo opened her eyes and took one foot out of the water so she could half turn and look at her. Talking about food and the two of us. She lowered her long lashes and picked a piece of clover that grew between the rocks before peeking back up. Would you go to dinner with me sometime this week? Holly's pulse quickened. Dinner? She repeated, to give herself time to think. Yeah, you know, the meal people usually eat in the evenings. Leo's lips curled into a smile. It was almost the same thing Holly had teased her with when they had talked about breakfast almost 2 weeks ago, so Holly replied with the same words, too. Thanks for the expert definition, Miss Merriam-Webster. I know what it is. But what kind of dinner are we talking about? Was Leo trying to ask her out, or was she talking about a dinner between friends? For the millionth time in her life, she wished she were better at judging potentially romantic situations. Well, Leo said, there isn't exactly much to choose from in town, but how about Tasty Barn? Do they still serve some Mexican food? Yeah, but that wasn't what I meant. Was Leo deliberately pretending not to understand what she was asking? Is this about two friends grabbing some food together, or... Leo pulled her other foot out of the water, too. Her gaze searched Holly's face. Would it be okay if it was a date? She looked so cute, so earnest and vulnerable that Holly answered without thinking. Yes, I mean, no. No, Leo, I... She stopped herself, sat up and forced fresh air into her lungs. Jesus, how could a simple question turn her inside out like this? It wasn't as if she hadn't rejected anyone before. She tried to convince herself that it was better for both of them in the long run, but saying the words was still hard. I'm sorry, I can't go out with you. A flash of hurt crossed Leo's face before it turned into the reserved mask Holly had seen in the beginning. Can't? She sounded as if she was speaking through clenched teeth. Or don't want to? That was a question Holly didn't want to examine too closely. I'm sorry, she said again. I know it sounds trite, but it's not you, it's me. Leo let out a groan. That is trite. It's usually what women say when they're either straight or think I'm a conceited, shallow celebrity. Someone to lust after from afar, not someone to date for real. Her voice got rougher with every word. Impulsively, Holly reached out to squeeze her hand or put it on Leo's knee, but then realized it would send mixed messages, so she withdrew and put her hand in her own lap. I don't think that about you, you know that, right?
But you're not straight. You do date women.
I don't date anyone. That's what I'm trying to tell you. A frown wrinkled Leo's brow.
Don't tell me you're still hung up on Ashley.
Holly barked out a nervous laugh. No, definitely not.
Then it really is me.
Leo lowered her gaze to a tuft of clover.
I'm not your type.
That's just it, Leo. I don't have a type, at least not the way you think.
Okay.
Leo drew out the word in a way that made it obvious that she had no clue what Holly meant. Holly sighed. Coming out as asexual hadn't been on her list of relaxing things to do on her afternoon off, but she didn't want a rejection to stand between them. She had come to appreciate their friendship too much to lie, even by omission. Eating the remainder of her ice cream gave her a moment to collect herself. When the last crumb of cone was gone, she clutched her bare legs to her chest and gazed at Leo over her drawn-up knees. God, why was this so much harder than coming out as a lesbian? Finally, she just blurted it out. I'm ace. She wasn't sure what response she had expected, but certainly not the crooked grin that spread across Leo's face.
Oh, yeah,
Leo drawled with the husky voice that had won her 3 Grammys.
You sure are. Totally awesome.
No, I mean, I'm asexual.
Asexual?
Leo repeated it syllable by syllable.
What does that mean?
Oh, boy. Maybe that was what made coming out as asexual so much harder. Telling someone she was a lesbian didn't require a half-hour education session. It means... She glanced down and watched as she turned the black ace ring around and around on her right middle finger. It means that I'm not sexually attracted to anyone. Leo stared at her, the last bit of ice cream cone apparently forgotten in her hand.
Wait, are you saying you don't like sex?
Not exactly. I'm saying I don't want sex. A gust of air escaped Leo's lungs in an audible puff.
You don't want sex? Never? With anyone?
The look of disbelief on her face made Holly laugh. There are more important things in life, you know.
Well, yeah, but when it's really good, sex can be mind-blowing.
She rolled her eyes skyward and fanned herself with both hands. I'll have to take your word for it. Leo slowly shook her head back and forth.
Have you always been like this? I mean, this isn't because something happened to you, is it?
She looked so tortured by the thought that Holly did reach out to squeeze her hand for a moment. No, the most traumatic thing that happened to me as a kid was when my brothers put a frog into my slippers. Her exaggerated shudder broke the tension between them, and they laughed with each other. Anyway, Holly said after the laughter had faded away, it doesn't work like that. Asexuality isn't a result of some trauma. It's a sexual orientation, just like being a lesbian. Leo still looked as if she had trouble wrapping her head around it. Maybe an analogy would help. It's a little like chocolate, Holly said.
Chocolate?
Leo repeated, her tone doubtful. Bear with me. So, some people like dark chocolate, some like milk chocolate, and some like white chocolate. Leo grimaced.
I don't consider that white stuff chocolate.
Me neither, but you're destroying my beautiful, well-thought-out analogy.
Sorry, you were saying...
There are also some people who like all kinds of chocolate.
People with bad taste,
Leo muttered. When Holly glared playfully, she made a zipping motion across her lips with her thumb and forefinger. And last but not least, there are a couple of people who don't like any type of chocolate. Leo snorted.
Come on, who doesn't like chocolate?
Me, Holly said quietly and held her gaze.
You don't like chocolate? Excuse me, then what's that?
Leo pointed at something on Holly's cheek, probably a smear of the chocolate ice cream she had just eaten. No, I mean, yes, I do like chocolate, but...
She rubbed her eyes. Geez, she was making a mess of things, confusing Leo even more.
Look, all I'm saying is that this, she waved at herself, is the way I was born. Red-headed, crooked-toed, and asexual. Leo seemed to consider that for a while.
Your toes are cute, she finally said.
Holly stared down at them. They're crooked.
But in a cute way.
With a tiny splash, Leo's feet landed back in the creek. She swirled them through the water while she lay back and stared at the sky, her forehead crinkled as if deeply in thought.
If you're not attracted to anyone, why were you with Ash?
I said I'm not sexually attracted to anyone. There are other types of attraction, you know. For you, they're probably all aligned, but I can fall in love with a woman or appreciate her beauty without wanting to jump her bones. Leo folded her arms behind her head.
That makes sense. Kind of. Is that why you're still calling yourself a lesbian? Because you are attracted to women, just not sexually?
Yeah. Holly quirked a smile. Plus, calling myself a homoromantic asexual would get me nothing but puzzled looks.
Like the one Leo was giving her right now.
Poor woman.
So, excuse me if I keep asking stupid questions, but...
It's okay, Holly cut in. I don't mind talking about it. To her surprise, she found that it was true, at least right now. Leo might be confused and struggling to understand, but she wasn't making her feel as if she had to defend her sexual orientation. That was nice, especially after the judgmental reactions she'd had from other lesbians.
Thanks. So,
Leo kicked up a bit of water. The droplets glittered in the afternoon sun as they rained down on her.
You said you can fall in love with a woman or appreciate her beauty, right?
Holly nodded.
Then why won't you go out with me, or date in general?
There it was, the million-dollar question. Because dating comes with expectations. A kiss goodnight after the first date, or maybe the second, then sex by date number 3 or 5, or whatever arbitrary rule you apply. She shook her head. It never works out for me, so I'd rather stay out of that minefield of expectations.
Even if it means staying alone for the rest of your life?
Leo asked quietly. Holly often asked herself the same question, but she still hadn't found an answer. I don't know. They lay side by side for a while longer, the gurgling of the creek and the rustling of the wind through the trees the only sounds interrupting the silence. Finally, Holly sat up and slid her feet back into her sandals. Come on, we have to get back or I'll be late for my shift. Leo shoved her feet back into her socks and shoes, stood, and followed her along the path.
Holly, she said after a few steps.
Every single one of Holly's muscles tensed. It wasn't that she didn't trust Leo, but most often when she had revealed her sexual orientation to someone, it had come back to bite her in the ass, even if the person had first seemed to accept her asexuality. Hmm?
Thanks for telling me, Leo said. I know that took a lot of courage.
Holly had been so busy expecting a negative reaction that it took her a second to figure out what Leo meant. As soon as she did, warmth flowed through every inch of her body, melting away the tension. Thank you, was all she could get out. A smile replaced Leo's serious expression.
Just for the record, I still think you're ace, as in, pretty awesome.
Holly's laughter rang over the hill. Thanks. You're pretty ace, too. With a hint of a wink, she added, at least in one way. Chapter 11. The next morning, Leo yawned so widely that her jaw popped.
God, she was getting old.
Apparently, the days where she could stay up all night and still get up early to join her bandmates on the tour bus were over. She stumbled down the stairs and into the kitchen in search of coffee. This was what a zombie must feel like, only she was hunting for caffeine, not brains. Her mother was just putting breakfast on the table, biscuits and gravy. Holly's favorite, Leo remembered. As if conjured up by that thought, Holly appeared in the doorway, pushing the wheelchair with Leo's father toward the table. Good morning, she said with an almost shy glance in Leo's direction. Did she feel a little vulnerable after yesterday's coming out? Leo couldn't blame her if she did. Last night she had read dozens of coming-out stories of other asexual people. Many of them had faced intrusive questions about their sex lives or been offered ready explanations of what might have caused their asexuality, bad experiences, hormonal or mental disorders, not having found the right person yet, or going through a phase, the same stupid things people had told her when she had first come out as a lesbian. She hadn't said any of that ignorant stuff, had she? Well, admittedly, asking Holly if she'd been abused had probably fallen into the stupid questions category, but she cut herself some slack. This was still also new and confusing to her. The internet had helped in one way, and made it worse in others. Simply typing asexuality into a search engine had brought up millions of websites, Tumblr pages, forums, and YouTube videos, and each click had confronted her with new terms and concepts that had definitely never been mentioned in high school sex ed. Graysexual, demisexual, cupiosexual, aromantic, queer platonic. Her head was still reeling. There was this whole complex spectrum out there. Why hadn't she ever heard of any of this?
Leontine?
Her mother's voice wrenched her from her thoughts.
Excuse me?
I said, why don't you take a seat? You look like you've been up all night. Have you been working on a new song?
Leo sat at the table across from Holly and reached for a biscuit.
Not really. I just got into something online and lost track of time.
Anything interesting? Holly asked while ladling gravy onto her biscuit.
Oh, yeah. That same interesting thing we talked about yesterday.
Holly paused with the ladle halfway back to its bowl.
You Googled it?
Leo nodded. Her mother looked back and forth between them as if she were watching a tennis game, her forehead forming deep lines.
I'm still trying to wrap my head around it, but it's very interesting. Did you know that...
Leo peeked at her mother, who was still watching them.
That, people with crooked toes make up 1% of the population?
The corners of Holly's mouth tipped up into an amused smile. She took a bite of biscuit and nodded while she chewed. When she had swallowed, she pointed at her hair.
About the same ratio as redheads.
Leo's mother put both hands flat on the table and leaned forward to pierce them with a penetrating gaze.
Why are we talking about crooked toes?
Somehow, Leo managed to keep a straight face.
Because Holly's got them.
Her mother glanced beneath the table.
You do?
Shuffling sounds came from Holly's chair, probably as she pulled her toes out of viewing range. A flush rushed up her neck and colored her cheeks.
Yeah. Oh dear, I had no idea. Do they bother you?
Leo's mom reached over and patted Holly's hand in a motherly way. Holly shot a glare in Leo's direction, but Leo put on her most innocent expression.
They did, in the beginning. It isn't easy to be the only one with crooked toes while everyone else's toes are perfectly, straight.
She and Leo chuckled at her choice of words.
Well, couldn't an orthopedic specialist do something about them?
Leo's mother asked.
God.
Leo's nostrils quivered as she struggled not to burst out laughing.
Nah, Holly said. It's not a medical issue. It took me a few years, but I've now come to accept my, toes as a part of me. That's nice, dear.
Leo's mother patted her hand again.
No use in agonizing over something you can't change. When I was young, I used to think that my nose was too big.
She rubbed the body part in question.
But now I think it's all right, isn't it?
Leo's father let out a growl.
This!
He slapped at his paralyzed arm with his good hand.
Problem. Toes and, mouth. No. Nose! Poof!
Holly put her hand on his and smiled at him.
You're absolutely right, Gil. My toes are not a problem.
The topic of conversation drifted to something else. The pie her mother wanted to make, and the article about Leo's homecoming in the local paper. But Leo was no longer listening. Her brain was still busy processing what she had found out about asexuality and what it might mean for Holly.
For one thing, it means she's off limits, and that she's not a swinger.
The thought made her struggle to bite back a renewed wave of hilarity. Apparently, a black ring worn on the middle finger of the right hand signified that the wearer was asexual, unlike one of Leo's dancers, who wore it on his right ring finger to indicate that he was a swinger. When she and Holly cleared the table and loaded the dishwasher, as had become their after-meal ritual, Holly pinched her waist, making Leo jump and hit her head on the hanging cabinet.
Hey!
She rubbed her head.
Serves you right, you little shit.
But there was no real heat behind Holly's words or her glare.
So,
Leo said as she put the last plate into the dishwasher and closed it.
Since you refuse to go out with me, how about watching a movie or something with me after my dad's in bed tonight?
Under one condition.
Don't worry. I know there won't be any making out over popcorn.
Holly pinched her again. This time, Leo managed not to hit her head.
There won't even be any popcorn. That's my condition. For a proper movie night, we need pizza.
Oh, God.
At the rate they were going, she wouldn't fit into any of her costumes by the time she returned to New York. But it was a price she was willing to pay if it meant she got to spend more time with Holly.
Pizza it is.
A heavenly scent accompanied them as Leo carried the pizza box upstairs, followed by Holly, who had brought a stack of DVDs. Pizza from Casey's was another thing she couldn't get in New York. She hadn't thought there was anything from Fair Oaks that she missed, but the longer she stayed, the more she started to remember the good things. Or maybe it was that she got to enjoy these things with Holly now. She grinned at the way Holly's nose wiggled like that of a beagle following a scent trail. Only when they entered her room did she realize there was nowhere to sit but the bed. Well, there was her old desk chair, but that certainly wasn't a comfy place to watch a movie.
Would it make you uncomfortable if we both sat on the bed?
Holly set the DVDs on the bedside table and turned to face her.
It's kind of cute how considerate you're being. I appreciate it, but I want to get one thing straight, or not so straight, in our case. Just because I'm asexual doesn't mean I don't like physical contact. In fact, under the right circumstances, I can be a certified cuddle bug.
Immediately, an image of cuddling with Holly, holding her close while nuzzling her face against the warm crook of her neck, flashed through Leo's mind. Cut it out. She didn't say she wants to cuddle with you, just that she doesn't mind casual physical contact.
All right, then.
She tried to sound completely normal, but her voice was a bit rough.
Well, let's get comfortable or the pizza will get cold.
They settled on the bed, leaning against the headboard, and Leo put the pizza box half on her own, half on Holly's lap. She flicked on the TV and opened the lid. The mouth-watering aroma of pepperoni and melting cheese wafted up.
Yum,
they said in unison, and then grinned at each other.
I never thought I'd find someone who likes pepperoni and pineapple on her pizza, too. Ray, my drummer, always says it should be on the list of forbidden food combinations.
Holly huffed.
Hasn't he ever heard of Don't Knock It Till You've Tried It?
Did that hold true for sex as well? Leo had to admit that she was curious. Since finding out yesterday that Holly was asexual, she hadn't been able to stop thinking about it. But no way would she interrogate her about her sex life, or lack thereof.
Apparently not, she said.
They reached for the same slice of pizza, and their fingers touched. A wave of heat that had nothing to do with the still-hot pizza rushed through Leo's body. The thought that Holly had never, ever experienced a sensation like this was mind-boggling, but it also helped her tamp down on her own attraction. She waved at Holly to go ahead, picked another slice, and took a big bite. The extra cheese seemed to melt in her mouth, and the perfect blend of sweet pineapple and savory pepperoni mingled on her tongue. They both moaned around their mouthfuls of pizza. The sensual sound raised Leo's temperature another degree, but Holly continued to eat as if completely unaware. Leo didn't know if she should feel sad for Holly or envy her. A familiar theme music finally came to her rescue, distracting her from the little sounds Holly made as she ate.
Oh, hey, I didn't know Central Precinct was on. I love this show.
Holly blinked at her.
Really? Me too. I've watched it since the very first episode.
I missed a lot of episodes, but I'm quickly catching up.
If not for their afternoon runs or their evenings talking in the kitchen, she would have probably watched all 5 seasons by now.
Have you seen this one?
Holly waved her half-eaten slice toward the TV. Leo turned her attention toward the screen and watched as the two detectives were called to a crime scene.
Oh, that's the episode where Halliday's father is murdered. Yep, I've seen it. It's a good one.
Yeah, I think Amanda Clark even won an Emmy for this episode. Want to watch it?
Sure.
They could watch the DVDs Holly had brought another time. A moment later, the thought caught up with her. Interesting how she took it for granted that they'd spend more time with each other. She had never wanted that with anyone else, at least not to this extent, not since high school and Ashley. They devoured the pizza while watching Central Precinct. The last crumb was gone long before the episode ended with a lip lock between the show's female detective and the female medical examiner. Admittedly, it was part of why it was one of Leo's favorite episodes. She kicked the empty pizza box off the bed and turned a little so she could face Holly. Since her bed was a twin, her knee ended up pressed against Holly's thigh.
Can I ask you something?
The smile on Holly's face said she'd expected more questions all along.
Sure.
Leo chewed her lip for a second before deciding to just come out and ask.
So this, she waved at the TV. Two hot women kissing. It doesn't do anything for you?
Holly shrugged. They're both very beautiful, and I love having a lesbian couple on one of my favorite shows, but I actually found the scene when they talk in the autopsy room much more intimate than I would watching them do the horizontal mambo.
Leo thought about it for a few moments, all the while very aware of her knee against Holly's thigh. That had been the scene right after Halliday's father had been killed and landed on Dr. Castellano's autopsy table. The two characters had opened up to each other for the first time and shared things that were very personal and painful to them. Leo had never done that in any of her relationships. When she talked about being intimate with someone, she usually meant having sex, not sharing her innermost thoughts. She didn't talk about her father, her childhood, or her true feelings about the way her career was going.
Not true. You talked about it with Holly.
Could it be that she was already much more intimate with Holly than with any of her former girlfriends, without even having kissed her?
What is it?
Holly's lips quirked into a smile.
You look like you just found a frog in your slippers.
No, I think you're right. That scene in the autopsy room was more intimate.
But, she added at Holly's triumphant expression,
that kiss was still hot as hell.
So you find this hot as well?
Holly waved toward the TV. Leo turned her head. She'd been entirely focused on their conversation, so she hadn't paid any attention to what was flickering across the screen. It was a commercial. A curvy woman in a bikini was sensually running her tongue along the length of a hot dog. Her body glistened with some kind of oil, and it took Leo a second to figure out what the commercial was for. The hot dogs, not sun lotion or swimwear, apparently.
I take it you don't?
Holly wrinkled her nose.
Nope, I find it pretty ridiculous. Licking sausages, ugh, how does that work for anyone?
It took some effort not to burst out laughing. Did Holly realize how ambiguous that statement was? She bit her lip and abstained from making a sexual joke about it. An adorable flush crept up Holly's neck. She covered her face with Leo's pillow for a moment. When she dropped it into her lap, she was laughing. Her blue eyes twinkled.
Okay, okay. I'm obviously asking the wrong person. Licking sausages probably doesn't work for you either.
Leo stared at her. Holly chuckled.
What?
Nothing. I just didn't expect...
Leo shook her head.
Forget it. Want to watch another episode? I've got Netflix on my laptop.
Holly glanced at the alarm clock on the bedside table and then double-checked the receiver of the baby monitor to make sure she would hear if Leo's father needed anything.
Sure, we can watch another one. It's getting too late to watch a movie anyway.
How about the one where they're on their honeymoon in Vegas and get involved in solving the murder case in the casino?
That's the one with Grace Durand as the casino owner's daughter, right?
Yep.
Ah, I see. You just want to ogle her.
Holly gave her a teasing nudge with her elbow. Actually, what Leo really wanted was to keep Holly next to her for a little longer.
Yeah, you found me out. I have met her, by the way, and she's even more beautiful in person. Plus, she's a genuinely nice person.
You met Grace Durand?
Leo nodded.
She's married to my former PR agent, Lauren. She's the one who helped me navigate my public coming out and appeal to mainstream pop music fans despite being gay.
Well, considering you're still a superstar, she must have done a great job.
Yeah, she did. Well, my manager didn't think so. My sales numbers dropped by 20%, but it was worth it.
Holly touched Leo's knee for a moment.
Good for you. That must have taken a lot of courage.
Being forced to stay in the closet would have been a lot worse.
Leo climbed off the bed and got her laptop.
So, is the episode with Grace okay for you, or would you rather watch one that isn't so, romance-heavy?
Holly's dimples made an appearance.
As long as we're not watching porn, I'm fine.
Leo barked out a laugh.
No porn, I promise.
The smaller screen required them to sit even closer together, so now they were really cuddling, kind of, with their legs resting against each other from hip to ankle, and Leo's arm on top of the headboard, which basically positioned it around Holly's shoulders. It was amazingly nice to sit like this. Leo chuckled to herself.
Grace who?
Chapter 12. Holly closed Gil's door behind her. Physical therapy was already frustrating enough for him, so he didn't need an audience to watch him struggle. If the physical therapist needed her help, he'd come get her. She went over to the kitchen, where Sharon was rooting through a drawer.
"Can I help you with anything?"
Holly asked.
"No, thanks. I'm just looking for one of my mother-in-law's recipes. I won't start preparing lunch for another hour."
Sharon glanced over her shoulder.
"Leontine is in the living room. I think she's a little bored, too. Why don't you girls go up to her room and watch another episode of that show you like?"
If she didn't know any better, she would think Leo's mother was trying to matchmake. She encouraged them to spend time together at every opportunity. Not that Holly didn't want to, but she would have felt weird watching Netflix while she was supposed to be working.
"No, thanks. I want to stay downstairs in case Gil and Reed need me."
"All right."
Sharon went back to her search for the recipe. Holly wandered into the living room. Leo sat in her father's easy chair, her eyes closed and her fingers moving to the rhythm of music only she could hear. For a moment, Holly thought she might be working on a new song, but there was no pen and paper and no recording device nearby. Just as she was about to tiptoe out, Leo opened her eyes. An instant smile formed on her lips.
"Hey, are you done adulting?"
Holly chuckled.
"Just for the moment. The physical therapist is with your father for the next hour."
She walked over to the piano bench, which was the seat closest to Leo's easy chair, and sat down. Leo tilted her head to the side and studied her.
"You look good there. Do you play?"
"Oh, God, no. I wouldn't call it that."
"So you do play? Why didn't you tell me?"
Holly scrunched up her face.
"Because it's embarrassing. The only thing I can play is one piece."
"Which one?"
Holly hummed it.
"Ah, Journey's Study in C Major," Leo said. "Okay, let's play that."
I thought you didn't want to play classical music?"
Leo smiled.
"I'll make an exception just this once."
She came over and motioned at her to slide to the side so she could sit next to her. It felt nice and warm to have her so close, but playing the piano with her was like painting in front of Pablo Picasso when you could barely draw a stick figure.
"I don't know about this."
"Come on."
Leo bumped her with her shoulder, bringing their bodies into even closer contact.
"Dad is busy with PT. It's just the two of us here."
"Yeah, but one of us is musical genius Jenna Blake."
"No,"
Leo said very seriously, and turned a little on the bench to look into her eyes.
"One of us is Leo, not Jenna."
"Right. You know you're Leo to me."
Instead of answering, Leo stared at something farther down. When Holly followed her gaze, she realized she'd put her hand on Leo's leg, probably to reassure her. It felt natural.
But geez, talk about sending mixed signals.
Before she could snatch her hand away, Leo covered it with her own and squeezed gently.
"Ready?"
Holly swallowed.
"All right, let's play."
Leo opened the lid with the hand that wasn't still covering Holly's.
"How about I play the left hand and you play the right?"
"Okay."
"Remember where to put your fingers?"
"I think so."
She placed her fingers on the keys. Leo finally took her hand away from Holly's and stroked her fingertips over the hand resting on the piano, from wrist to knuckles.
"Relax,"
she said softly.
"Focus on how the keys feel under your fingers."
The last thing Holly was focused on at the moment was the piano. Sharing this with Leo was too confusing. There was something between them, she couldn't deny that. She felt drawn to Leo in a way that might have seemed almost sexual to an observer, but to her it wasn't about sex. This was all about emotion. Leo shuffled through her father's sheet music, found the right one, and placed it in front of them. Holly took a deep breath, and then haltingly began to play the first notes, stumbling through the piece. God, this was awful. Her tempo was all off, and she had the dynamics of a robot. Next to her, Leo's fingers moved gracefully and without effort. It looked as if it came as easy to her as breathing.
Wow. No wonder women were swooning when they watched Leo's long fingers caress the neck of her guitar during concerts. If she weren't asexual, she probably would, too. As it was, her fantasies ended at those talented fingers giving her a massage or caressing her tenderly. Other people might have considered it foreplay, but for her, it was the main course, an experience that was sensual rather than sexual. Holly was so focused on watching Leo that she stopped her own playing. Leo paused, too, and looked at her.
Sorry, Holly said. I told you I'm not good at this.
Then let's play it slower. Want to try playing the left hand and I take over the right hand melody?
Holly nodded and started to get up to switch sides, but Leo just guided her hand to the correct keys and then reached across Holly's arm to the piano's right side. Their forearms touched each other lightly, but Holly didn't feel crowded. It actually felt nice. They started from the beginning, and this time Holly played without pausing. She had to admit it didn't sound too bad.
When the last notes faded away, they both left their hands where they were for a little longer.
Who taught you?
Leo asked as she finally put her hands on her lap. Holly withdrew too.
Your father.
Leo's head swiveled around.
My father?
Yeah, you'd think I'd play a little better with him as my teacher, right?
Holly laughed.
He tried to teach me while he was recovering from his first stroke, but I'm hopeless. No matter how much I practiced, I could never coordinate playing with both hands and the pedal.
I bet that didn't go over too well. After all, if you're not a perfect student, it means he's not the perfect teacher he thinks he is, right?
Actually, he took it pretty well.
Are we talking about the same man?
Leo asked. When I was 8, my mother had to intervene because he wouldn't let me stop practicing until I got one of Liszt's pieces right.
I guess it's different with you.
Yeah.
The one word dripped with bitterness.
Maybe it's because you're his daughter and he cares about you,
Holly said softly. Leo snorted.
He's got a funny way of showing it.
Holly didn't know what to say to that, so she just slid even closer on the piano bench and put one arm around her hip.
He probably never learned how to show it. But that's his deficit, not yours. It doesn't mean you're not lovable.
That last word hung between them as Leo slowly turned her head and looked at her. Their closeness suddenly made Holly a little nervous, but at the same time, she didn't want to move away from Leo's warmth. This close, she could make out the brown flecks in her olive-green eyes. The bitterness in them from before was gone, and now they held only... A discreet clearing of someone's throat made them both jump. Reed, the physical therapist, stood in the doorway.
Sorry to interrupt, but I could use a second person for one of the exercises. Do you have a minute?
Sure.
Holly quickly withdrew her arm from around Leo and got up. In the tight space between the piano and the bench, her feet got tangled with Leo's and she stumbled. Leo caught her before she could crash into the piano.
You okay?
She asked quietly.
Geez, she really was a bumbling idiot around Leo.
I'm fine, thanks.
Slowly, Leo took her hands off Holly's hips and slid the bench back to give her more space. Holly moved past her. At the door, she turned back.
Thanks for playing with me.
Leo laughed.
I know what you mean, and you're very welcome.
A few days later, Leo stood at the dormer window of her old room. The stars twinkled down on her through the glass. As a child, she had often climbed through this window and up onto the roof whenever she had needed to escape. She slid open the window and paused.
Should I?
She shrugged.
Why not?
It wasn't as if her parents would ground her, even if they caught her. She climbed onto her desk chair, gripped the window frame with both hands, and had just lifted one leg over the sill when a knock sounded on her door. Quickly, she swung her leg back down and hopped off the chair, since she didn't want to give away her secret spot.
Yes?
She called out and turned to face the room. The door swung open and Holly peeked inside.
Hi. Your father is down for the night. I came up to see if you'd like to watch one of the movies with me that we didn't get to see the other night.
Leo hesitated. Her gaze went back toward the still-open window. The spot up on the roof was one place that she had never shared with anyone, not even Ashley. But now the urge to share it with Holly overcame her. And after all, Holly had shared her feel-good place, the room with the puppies and kittens, the week before last.
"Never mind," Holly said when Leo didn't answer immediately. "If you're not in the mood, we can watch it another..."
"No, I mean, yes, let's watch the movie another day. Tonight, I want to show you something else."
Holly stepped farther into the room and closed the door behind her. Curiosity glittered in her eyes.
"You're not afraid of heights, are you?"
Leo asked. No, I don't think so. What are you planning to do, take me parachuting in the middle of the night?"
Her smile looked a little timid.
Leo chuckled.
No, nothing that spectacular. I'm taking you to my favorite spot in Fair Oaks.
The spot at the creek, where we always stop when we go running?
Nope. That's my second favorite spot.
Apparently, Holly had guessed how much she liked that place without Leo having to tell her. So, where's number one? Holly asked. Grinning, Leo pointed at the window behind her.
Holly stared past her.
Across the street? The high school? I didn't think you liked that place any more than I did.
I didn't. I don't mean the high school. Come on, I think it's easier if I just show you. Follow me and be careful. I don't want to explain to the agency you work for how their employee fell off our roof in the middle of the night.
We're going up on the roof? Holly squeaked out.
Yep.
She climbed onto the desk chair, held onto the window frame, and swung one leg, then the other, over the sill. After two steps onto the roof, she stopped and turned to help Holly.
It's easiest if you put your hand here and...
Before she could finish her sentence, Holly was already out the window and up next to her. A light breeze tugged on their t-shirts as they stood on the roof, side by side. Leo grinned at her.
What?
Holly returned the grin.
You thought I wouldn't have the courage to follow you, city girl?
I'm not a city girl,
Leo said automatically.
No?
Normally, Leo was quick to say that she was a New Yorker, but now, up here on the roof with Holly, she was strangely content to be right where she was. She shrugged and climbed up the slope of the roof without answering. They made their way around the jutting-out dormer window, arms spread out to the sides to help them keep their balance.
Here,
Leo said when they reached the brick chimney.
When I was growing up, I would always sit behind the chimney so I couldn't be seen from below.
They settled down next to each other, both of them leaning against the bricks. The shingles were still warm beneath Leo, even though the sun had set 2 hours ago, and Holly's body warmed her on one side. The street below them was empty, since most people in town were in bed by 10. The crescent moon painted a silvery path across the shingles. Lightning bugs and stars formed a network of light all around them.
Amazing.
Leo stared up into the sky. Another thing she had missed. She had never seen the stars like this in the city. No traffic noise, car horns, sirens, or booming radios interrupted the peaceful atmosphere. Crickets chirped, and the louder song of a cicada came from somewhere close to the tree line at the edge of town. A scent of honeysuckle and freshly cut grass trailed on the air. It was so beautiful that it felt almost surreal, and Holly's presence somehow added to it, instead of feeling like an intrusion. Neither felt the need to speak for several minutes. Finally, an owl interrupted the near silence.
"So this is where you went when you needed to escape?"
Holly whispered, as if she didn't want to interrupt the peace. Leo nodded.
"My parents never found me. I sat up here for hours, looking at the stars, and dreamed of being a famous pop singer."
"And now you are,"
Holly said, a smile in her voice.
"Now I am."
She sighed. It sure wasn't as fulfilling as she had thought back then, but she didn't want to spoil this beautiful night by bringing that up again.
Holly put a hand on her thigh, which was bare below the leg of her jean shorts. A tingle climbed up her leg. Oh, Jesus. Holly had no idea what she was doing to her. She just wanted to provide comfort. Leo cleared her throat and focused on the conversation. Sometimes when the need to get out became too bad, I took a map and a flashlight up here and looked up which roads would get me to New York. Is it really so bad here? Holly asked quietly. Now that Leo's eyes had adjusted to the moonlight, she could make out Holly's features. She was looking at her with an almost vulnerable expression, as if Leo's negative opinion of their hometown hurt her. No, she surprised herself by saying. It hasn't been so bad this time. Their gazes met and held. A slow smile spread over Holly's face. In the low light provided by the moon and stars, her blue eyes appeared to be a silvery gray, and Leo imagined that she could see them shining with relief, or happiness, or both. Silence settled over them for a bit. Leo let her thoughts drift, partly to the past, partly to the present, enjoying this moment with Holly. This is so ridiculously romantic, someone should write a song about it. She chuckled. What? Holly asked. Nothing. Holly poked her. Tell me. Hey, don't make me fall. They paused and stared at each other. Off the roof, I meant, Leo said hastily. I know what you meant. So why were you laughing? Just thinking about the time I scraped my ass bad when I snuck out one night and slid down the roof to go skinny dipping with Ash. She regarded Holly. How about you? Did you ever do something stupid like that? No. As you can imagine, I wasn't into skinny dipping with girls. Or boys. So you knew you were asexual even back then? Leo asked. I always knew I was different somehow, but I couldn't say what it was that made me different. I didn't have a word for it for the longest time. I just knew that I didn't fit in. It was the same for me. Yeah, but I think you figured it out a little faster. True. The giant crush I had on Ash was a big clue. Holly groaned a little. God, all those high school crushes. My classmates suddenly started to go gaga over someone, and all they wanted to do was hang around the boys or talk about the boys. She shook herself. It seemed so stupid to me. I felt like I was the only normal one. It took me a while to figure out that it was the other way around. Everyone else was normal, and I was the weird one. Hey. Leo reached over and took her hand. You're not weird. I know that now, but back then, I was the only one in my class who didn't go on a single date during high school. Leo entwined their fingers. I didn't date in high school either. She'd been too hung up on Ash back then. With a rakish grin, she added, Although I sure made up for that when I moved to New York. I take it you didn't? No. I didn't feel I had anything to make up for. I was too busy with school, friends, and hobbies. So Ash, she was your first? Leo studied their entwined hands, and try as she might, she couldn't imagine the two of them together. No, I had a girlfriend before her, and a boyfriend my junior year in college. Leo stared. A boyfriend? You? Somehow she could imagine that even less. Didn't want to imagine it, truth be told. It didn't last long, and we only slept with each other once. Holly pulled her knees to her chest and leaned her chin on top. An almost physical jolt went through Leo, and she jerked their entwined hands. So you... Well, I thought... You actually had sex? Holly nodded and leaned her cheek on her knees so she could regard Leo while they talked. That's what you're supposed to be doing in a relationship, right? Only if both people involved want it. I wish I'd had a friend back then who told me that. The one college friend I talked to asked me how I could know I didn't like sex if I'd never tried it. Jesus. Leo hissed out the word through her teeth.
What bullshit. I knew I didn't want to have sex with men without having to try it first.
Yeah. I should have listened to my instincts. It was a pretty underwhelming experience. I couldn't believe that was the mind-blowing thing that everyone seemed to be so excited about. Leo could relate.
My first time wasn't exactly spectacular either. I had no clue what I was doing.
And the second, third, and fourth time?
Well, Leo drawled and winked at her. Let's just say my father was right about one thing. Practice does make perfect.
Their laughter drifted through the night air. Not for me, Holly said after a while. When I met Dana my senior year at Mizzou, I fell head over heels and thought I had finally figured it out. Clearly, I was a lesbian and just hadn't been attracted to anyone because I'd been looking at the wrong gender.
But?
Leo prompted when Holly fell silent. It turned out I was confusing sexual and romantic attraction. I really loved Dana, but the sex... meh.
Meh.
Leo still found it hard to grasp how anyone could feel that way about sex, especially sex with a person they loved.
Did you talk to her about it?
Oh, yeah. We did nothing but talk, or fight about it, for most of our relationship. I even ended up going to therapy because I thought something was wrong with me.
And the therapist didn't tell you otherwise?
No, she had never heard of asexuality either. That's the hardest thing about being ace. Most people don't know it exists, so you just feel broken.
God, and she had thought she'd felt lonely and isolated when she'd been growing up.
Compared to Holly, she'd had it easy. At least she had known other gay people existed. Leo held her hand a little more tightly. Finally, Dana and I broke up, or rather, she broke up with me. She was convinced that if I really loved her, I'd want her as much as she wanted me.
Leo cradled her hand between both of hers and barely held herself back from lifting it to her mouth to kiss her palm. Never had she wanted to comfort anyone so much. I'm so sorry.
It's okay. At least then I finally found out what was going on with me. One night, I went online, typed in something like, "Help, I'm not interested in sex," and came across a description of asexuality. A lot of things suddenly made sense. It was such a relief when I could finally stop trying to be someone I'm not.
I can imagine.
Her head was spinning, and it wasn't because she was up on the roof. She processed what Holly had told her for a while, just listening to the concert of the crickets and the occasional hooting of an owl. Neither of them let go of the other's hand, or acknowledged the fact that they were still holding hands.
So,
Leo said after a while,
once you knew, did you come out to people as asexual?
Not to everyone. With some people, I'd rather let them assume I'm a lesbian, which I am, in a way, than to get into the details with them. I did tell the women I dated, of course.
She sighed.
Most of the time, it put a sudden end to any date.
Is that what happened with Ash?
Leo finally asked the question she had wanted to ask for some time now. No, it was different with her. She was completely fine with me being ace, or so she said. But it turned out that wasn't quite true.
A wave of rage gripped Leo so firmly that she started to shake. Did she?
No, Holly said quickly. She never openly put any pressure on me, but... Another sigh escaped her. She clearly wasn't happy without sex, and... I felt like I owed it to her.
Owed her?
The words nearly blurred together in Leo's haste to get them out.
You don't owe anyone anything if it traumatizes or repulses you.
Now Holly was the one who took Leo's hand in both of hers, so that they ended up in a four-handed clutch. It's not like that for me, Leo.
But one of the people in the forum said...
Not all people who fall on the ace spectrum are the same, just like not all lesbians are the same. Some asexual people are completely grossed out by the mere thought of sex or even kissing,
while others wouldn't mind having sex for their partner's sake, even if they don't get much out of it for themselves.
Oh.
Every time she felt as if she had a good grasp on what asexuality was, she learned something new.
And you're one of those?
I'm not repulsed by sex. I just never think about it or crave it. If I hear people groan about how long it's been since they had any, it makes me want to laugh. If I never had sex again in my life, that would be fine with me. But that doesn't mean I find it traumatizing. Leo scratched her head as she tried to puzzle all the pieces together. They didn't quite seem to fit.
That sounds like it's a take-it-or-leave-it thing for you.
When Holly nodded, she asked,
If it is, why would you be willing to give up dating and relationships just to avoid sex?
Holly looked down at their hands as if trying to figure out which fingers belonged to her and which were Leo's. Or maybe she was trying to find the right words. It's not sex I'm trying to avoid, not really. If I'm with a woman I love, I don't mind having sex occasionally. But what I can never give her is a truly passionate response. Women want to be desired. They want to be able to turn me on with just a look or a touch. They want me to take them up against the wall or on the kitchen table because I can't wait until we make it into the bedroom.
Jesus, was it getting hot up here on the roof?
Leo freed one hand from their tangle of fingers and discreetly tugged on the crew neck of her t-shirt. That's something I can never give them, even if I have sex with them. At the sadness in Holly's voice, Leo's arousal dwindled away. Her stomach knotted, and she pressed their entwined hands against her belly in an effort to ease that almost painful feeling.
Okay, she rasped out. I get it now, I think.
Don't worry if it takes you a while to understand. It took my brother, Ethan, a couple of years to get it. He was the first person I told after finding out I'm ace, and he promptly told me it was just a phase and I'd grow out of it. Leo waved her free hand at her.
Hello, you're what, 29?
Holly nodded.
That would be a mighty long phase. My mother told me the same thing when I came out to her, but even she seems to get it now that I won't grow out of being a lesbian.
Well, my brother is a slow learner. He gets it now, for the most part, but after that coming-out experience, and after hearing from a lesbian friend that I just needed to have sex with the right woman, I didn't tell anyone else for a while. Leo shook her head.
God, people can be assholes.
Holly smiled wryly. Sad but true. How did your parents react when you came out to them?
My mother didn't, for the most part. As I said, she thought it was just a phase, so she didn't take it seriously. My father, he told me he didn't want that kind of lifestyle in his house. After that, we didn't exchange another word. I left the week after.
She hadn't expected to talk about this, but it felt surprisingly good to open up. Holly was so easy to talk to. Why the hell hadn't they been friends growing up? Why had she wasted her time with someone like Ash when she could have spent it with Holly? Holly gave her a sincere look. I'm so sorry. Sorry that he didn't try to understand, and sorry that I judged you for not coming back sooner.
Maybe I should have. Well, come back sooner, I mean.
At the very least, she would have gotten to know Holly sooner. She looked down at their hands, which were once again cradled together. There was a connection between them that went beyond that visible network of fingers. Under different circumstances, Leo would have assumed it was attraction. And maybe it was. Just one of the other kinds of attraction Holly had mentioned, because it sure seemed as if Holly could feel it too. Something one-sided wouldn't feel so strong, would it?
Holly,
She tightened her hold on Holly's fingers, struggling for the right words, until Holly let out a quiet groan. Immediately, Leo eased her grip.
I'm sorry. Can I ask you something?
Great. Now she, the woman who'd stayed cool when groupies had thrown their bras at her on stage, was stuttering like a teenager. Holly nodded, the white of her eyes shimmering in the moonlight as she stared at her.
If there were no expectations of passion or sex, would you start dating again?
There always is.
Would you? Leo asked again with more urgency.